Welcome to Life in the Spirit, the weekly online broadcast of The Point Church in Antelope. Each week, Pastor Ed, or one of his teaching pastors from The Point, brings an encouraging message that will strengthen, encourage, and help you and your family thrive on your journey of faith. Now, here's Pastor Edward Black, or one of The Point's teaching pastors.
When you give your heart to Jesus Christ and you say, God, wash me clean, forgive me of my sins, He breathes life into your spirit, and your spirit becomes alive for the first time. We are alive in Christ. You have been born again, and you have been saved. And then you have this pesky thing on the inside called your soul. Now, your soul is being saved. And the soul is like a sponge. It holds on to every hurt, every pain, every disappointment, every bit of dysfunction. It doesn't want to let it go. And so the Lord, in His kindness, says, I'm going to transform you now that you have received my goodness and grace. Now that my mercy has washed over you, now that you are born again and you are saved, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Heaven is your home, and we can have a confidence that we have been saved and born again. Then the Lord comes in and He says, now I'm going to mature you. I'm going to grow you up. I'm going to change you into the image of my Son. And He begins a process called sanctification. One of the primary ways that God sanctifies us is He takes us through seasons. Genesis, it talks about the season of cold, the season of harvest, the season of sowing, where you take a portion of your crops and sow it for a future harvest. A season of cold is nothing more than God moving you into a place where you can receive. When I'm cold, I move into a heat source. If you're going through a brief season of cold, it just means God is wanting to move you so that you can be in a position to receive. It talks about seasons, as I said, harvest time, sowing time, cold, winter, day, seasons of night. And today on Mother's Day, it felt so appropriate to talk about a season we've never talked about before. And some of you may be in this season, and some of you may be one day heading into it. Maybe you're in this season, you don't even know it. But if you're ever in a season of winter or wilderness, you really haven't been listening to the Lord, because if you have to go through a winter or move into wilderness, God is trying to move you out of behavior into behavior He wants you to do. He's trying to move you and change your mindset, change your heart, demolish strongholds, the scripture says. And even if you find yourself in a season of winterness or a season of winter, the Bible says that He prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemy. Even in the midst of winter, He still provides. Can someone say amen? And when your enemies gather around you and they have the sole intention of eating your lunch, maybe spiritually you kind of left the windows and doors of your life open, and you wake up in the morning and there's five or six enemies at your kitchen table eating your lunch. Yet God says, in the midst of that, in the midst of your enemies, God prepares before you a table in the midst of your enemies. God is good all the time, amen? And His heart is to have you and I walk in victory, to walk and climb the hill of the Lord, where the scripture says His mountains melt like wax. That's good. Anybody here ever been through any of those seasons?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Desert is an interesting season. Desert is a season that you go through where the scripture says all things work together for good. Desert is a season where God is working together things for good. You find yourself in the desert not because of something you did or didn't do, but because something someone else did, and you end up in the aftermath of it. Have you ever been driving the speed limit, stop at a parking lot, and some other car T-bones into you or hits you from behind because they were paying attention to their phone? You did nothing wrong. Nothing. But someone else on their journey did something or didn't do something they should have done, and you ended up in the aftermath of it. Has anybody ever been through any of that kind of season? I think of Mephibosheth, the young man when King David ascended to the throne. David said, "Is there any descendants of Saul that I might be kind to them?" And his servant said, "Mephibosheth, the young man. He's a descendant of Saul." And Mephibosheth walked with a terrible limp. His leg was broken. He was broken because when war was declared and they evacuated the palace, somebody he trusted dropped him. His nanny, when he was a child, dropped him, smashed his leg, and he forever walked with a limp. I think of Joseph, who was just a young man working in the court of Potiphar, did nothing wrong. He was in the courtyard doing his job. And then Potiphar's wife said, "Hey, he's a handsome young guy. I would like to be with you." And he said, no. And then she lied and accused him of being inappropriate. And what happened to Joseph? He got thrown into prison. Nothing he did, but had to do with something somebody else. And so there are seasons of desert that you and I, from time to time, might find ourselves in the midst of. About a month and a half ago, Amy, who has been my wise counselor and my chief of staff for more years than I can remember, told me that God had put a word in her for this body. And we began to pray and talk about it and dream about it. And it became clear that this was the Sunday that that word was to be released. And I'll be doggone if 2 weeks ago I was not on the telephone with Cindy McVaugh, who had actually almost the same word that began to percolate up in the midst of our conversation. I'd like to give him a proper introduction. Amy Pollock is an owner, an entrepreneur, successful catering business called Mama P's Pies. She's a graduate of Impact School of Ministry. She's been a paramedic for 15 years, currently going to nursing school, mother of five great young adults, married to a dear friend of ours, Mike. They are a beautiful couple if you got to know them. But Amy has been my wise counselor, my trusted confidant, my chief of staff for 3 decades. Cindy McVaugh, senior leadership area manager for Sutter Health, married 32 years to Bob McVaugh. They will be set installed in 2 weeks. They will become elders in this church. She went to college as a trained phlebotomist, and they were on staff as associate pastors and women's ministry director for a church at 3 years, New Life Community Center. She's a mom of 2 great young adult children. One of them are here today. Would you please welcome Amy and Cindy McVaugh? Let's make sure, guys, they get microphones. Do you guys mind if we have a conversation today? The reason I feel like the Lord has orchestrated this moment is because of, you know, again, Amy, I've known you forever, and Cindy, really just getting to know you and in a new dimension, especially as you and Bob become elders of the house, evaluating and helping set the spiritual tone. But you too, and I know your background, I know your journey, and you know, in church, one of the things you'll learn about me is I resist pat answers. If it's a pat answer, I hate it, I'll resist it, I'll fight it. Because when you get saved, not everything is like a TV show that it wraps in 30 minutes with a nice red bow on it and it's all perfect. Life can be messy. Even when you're walking in victory and you're walking in God's goodness and God's grace and heaven is your home, but sometimes other people do stuff and it severely impacts your world and you find yourself in the middle of a desert wondering, how did I get here? I did nothing wrong, but here I am. A spouse did something, a car ran into you, the phone call, someone passed away, whatever. So maybe what I'd like to do is have this conversation about how do you survive in a desert? Because both of you survived your deserts and your deserts weren't short periods of time. Whatever you feel like sharing at the level you want to share, but you two not only survived your deserts, but you thrived and you came out the other side more healed and strengthened because of the long, terrible desert you both found yourselves in. So, Cindy, let me start off with you. I'll have some questions, but you survived your desert and it wasn't easy. You told me your journey.
Yeah. I would say Bob and I had been married for about 3 years or so before I finally confided in him that I had been a a victim of incest at the hands of my brother. And at the time, just getting it out there, I thought, woo, I'm good. Not so good. Probably about 6 months later, I found myself in a severe depression, wanting to take my own life. And it was during that time that I felt like God had walked away from me. What I didn't realize at the time, it wasn't until I looked back, I was able to see that God really was there. And he was providing me a support through my husband that was really, he was Jesus with skin on. That's what I tell him all the time. You were Jesus with skin on. And it was very dark. It was very ugly.
Desert.
It was a desert. It was dry. I was dry. I couldn't receive anything. And it was probably a journey of about 6 years or so before I finally got to the point where I felt like I could talk about it without breaking down crying, that I could encourage other people and say, you know what, I do truly understand where you're at. Circumstances are different, but the pain is still the same. And that I can walk beside you while you go through it. There are so many examples in the Word, and we were kind of talking about it this weekend already. And one of the things that I was thinking about afterwards was the woman at the well.
Yes.
You know, she was there minding her own business, getting her water, isolated away from everybody, which I don't know about you guys, but whenever I'm hurting, that's what I do. I tend to withdraw from everybody else.
Turtle, you pull in.
Oh, yeah. Turtle, for sure. So the woman at the well, she didn't know what she needed. It was the water of life that only Jesus can bring to us that restores us. As we were planning on this, we didn't want for this conversation to be a downer, but we also want to make sure that we are real and we are authentic whenever we are talking with people, and that when we are standing beside people and walking through deserts, wildernesses, whatever it might be that you're experiencing, that we can be real and authentic and we can share with you some of the life lessons that we've learned and encourage your hearts to know that this isn't the end. This is not the end at all.
Yeah, just to go off of what Cindy was saying, but to share a little bit of my story. So I've been through a couple huge deserts in my life. The first one started when I was 6 years old and my mom married my stepdad. And that desert lasted until I was 17. And I escaped my household where I was physically and sexually abused for 12 years. I, in the midst of that, was looking, like most girls do, for something else other than a dad, right? So I found a boy, as most teenage girls do when they're in my situation. And ironically, that boy brought me to church for the first time. And that's where I encountered Jesus for the first time, at 18 years old. And that's when my healing started to begin. And I will tell you that I resisted God as a father figure at that moment, right? We hear in church so often, God's our dad, he's our Abba Father, he will take care of you, he will lift you up. That's not my experience with a father, right? So when you hear that, there's a resistance to it, right? However, in the midst of that, God was my oasis in the desert. I had nothing else. I was dry. I was hungry, I was thirsty. And God said, here, I'm living water, come and drink of me. And in the midst of that, learning to trust God started that healing process for me, right? Therapy was a huge healing process for me in that. And what the final kind of moment for me where I really learned to trust God was when I was 9 months pregnant with my first son. They caught my stepdad, who had been running from the FBI. And he got brought back on extradition to California, and I had to face him for the first time since I was 17 years old.
In court.
In court.
In court.
And through that entire process, Pastor Ed and I were in constant contact, constant prayers. And what I really heard the Lord saying to me, because they give every victim the opportunity to speak in court at the end, to say what you want to say. And what I wanted to say was anger. What I wanted to say was what he stole from me. What I wanted to say was all the things that happened to me that weren't right. But what God directed me to say was, I forgive you. And that is when my healing and my desert ended for the last time, was I was able to say, I'm sorry, God, for not trusting you, and please help me to forgive him. And in open court, I said, in front of the judge, in front of the jury, in front of the stenographer and everybody else, I stood up and I said, I want you to know that I forgive you, just as Jesus has forgiven me, and I hope that you find the same hope that I have. And the judge at the end of that trial said, you have been a beacon of light to everyone in this room. That victims are survivors, that we can heal, and that we can have a normal, healthy, happy life in the end. And that wasn't because of anything that I did. That was because God was my oasis in the middle of my desert storm.
I love it. You know, you said something, both of you said something interesting, so I'm going to take a minute and explore that. You talked about therapy, right? Now, the church I grew up in, and I'm still really good friends with my pastor. He's getting up there in age. I still call him every month, right? And there was, I think maybe that's why I resist pat answers, because I remember one time in a very dark season of my life, it was kind of a combination of desert and wilderness. And my wife is the one that got me through that season. If it weren't for her, I wouldn't be here today. And I remember calling him and I said, Pastor, I feel like I'm having a few panic attacks and all that. Well, there's no such thing. Yes, there are. Yes, there are. And he said, well, just read a chapter in the book of Psalms every day and you'll be fine. And I'm like, does that include an Ativan? I mean, really? And, you know, the scripture says, confess your sins to God that you may be forgiven. But it says, confess your faults to one another that you may be healed. Which is one of the reasons why when you give your heart to Jesus, all through the book of Acts, it says you can't be a lone ranger. Give your heart to Jesus and then get in church where there's community, because you can pray all day long and you will be forgiven and washed clean. But until you engage in relationship, whether it's a therapist or a pastor or a small group leader or somebody just in your Bible study, until you find a place to talk safely, you can be totally forgiven, but you may still be walking terribly wounded until you can safely talk it out. Am I wrong? You're married to a therapist, so please.
I know. I got lucky. No.
Well, I talked to Bob and I say, stop judging me, you know.
No, it wasn't luck. I honestly say that God knew exactly what I was going to need, and that's why he gave me Bob. It was whenever I was at my worst. Actually, I was at the point where Bob didn't want to leave me alone, that he would bring somebody, ask somebody to stay with me. He took everything that I could potentially hurt myself with and got rid of it or put it someplace else, because I wasn't talking and I had a plan and I was just waiting for an opportunity. And Bob found me one day in the middle of the bathroom floor, sobbing, unable to move, paralyzed really, and unable to function. And it was at that moment that he took the steps he needed to take to ensure my safety even more. And at that point, I was ready to, I didn't care what he did. To be honest, I was just done. And luckily, he was going through his master's in psychology at the time to get his license and everything else. So while he had the knowledge, I told him, I don't need a therapist right now. I just need my husband. But he knew better than I did. And he got me established with a therapist that dealt specifically with sexual abuse and was able to really help guide me through the beginning stages of my healing, to the point where I had a visual pie chart on my refrigerator, because whenever you're wounded, sometimes you think that you did something wrong to cause it. And that's not the case.
That's not desert. You did nothing.
You did nothing.
You did nothing.
Yep. So I had a pie chart, my responsibility, my brother's responsibility, his father's responsibility, their grandfather's responsibility, because this was the thing that happened for generations. And slowly but surely, that pie chart got bigger in the sections it needed to get bigger in, until I was finally not on it anymore. But therapy and having that safe person is paramount to your healing. It's surrounding yourself and getting help with people who will direct you back to the life source, which is
living water.
The living water, exactly, to Christ. Because at that time you can't put the water to your lips. You're relying on others to be doing it for you until you're strong enough to take those steps to do it.
You know, Moses is a good example of that, because Moses did nothing wrong per se, but it was the people around that misbehaved through their lack of unbelief. So he ended up having to go 40 years in a circle, but it wasn't Moses. It was the people that misbehaved. Moses was put in a desert and ended up going on the journey with them. There, you might be here today and you say, man, I'm going through this desert. It wasn't me. I was in church. I was doing all the right things. And yet maybe it wasn't a violation, but maybe it was an addiction. Maybe a spouse or a loved one or a family member. Something in your circle has caused this in your circle where a good pastor friend of mine, really good pastor friend, you know who I'm talking about, his son, 21 years old, went out and misbehaved one evening. One evening, misbehaved, and made a baby. And it all went crazy. And lawsuits and custody and $100,000 out of their retirement later just in legal fees. They didn't do anything wrong. They were serving the Lord with joy and gladness. The son misbehaved, and now they're out $100,000 in their retirement money. Speak to something real quick, if you would, and then Amy, if you want to chime in. And we have some scriptures for you in a second. Would you guys agree this works?
Yes.
This works. Do this. Do this, and life turns out okay. But you said something interesting, that you didn't feel like God was with you. But there has to be a tension point, because when you're in desert, something is on you, and you feel like this doesn't work, like God wasn't with you, and yet his word says, I will never leave you, never forsake you. That's a tension point, because in your heart and soul, you know this to be true. God said he'd never leave me, forsake me, but because of the pain of the experience, you felt like, God, where are you? Like abandoned. How do you balance the two when there's that wounding and it feels like this doesn't work and you're tempted to believe that? Could you explore that for a second?
Yeah, I think for me, that example of the care and the kindness that Bob demonstrated to me, the tenderness, the praying for me, even when I didn't realize he was praying for me, he was the one putting the water to my lips. He was the one doing that. And so I think when you're hurting so bad, sometimes you're just oblivious to everything else.
Do you think your world just kind of does this?
Oh, for sure.
Okay.
For sure. You do have blinders on. Self-preservation.
Self-preservation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you think, Amy?
I was just going to say, sometimes when you're in the desert, kind of like what you were sharing, is you don't feel God in that moment. And like I said, he's the oasis and he's there, right? But sometimes when you're dry and you're thirsty, you see the water, you see the things, but you think it's a mirage, right? Because you're so lost. And the reality is you're really close to where you need to be, just like
Explain
the Israelites.
That. Explain that.
Right? The Israelites, like Pastor Ed was discussing, they walked around in circles for 40 years. They were only a few miles from the Promised Land the whole time.
That's good. Listen to that. That's good.
They were only a few miles from where they needed to be, but they couldn't see it because of their hearts, right? So God used the desert to change their hearts to where they needed to be, right? And they used Moses. Look, he was transformed during that time, right? He was hidden in a rock. His face, he had to wear a veil because his face was transformed by the light of God, right? Moses was the Israelites' light. He was the example of God in that moment. They were so close to where they needed to be, but their hearts weren't right. And sometimes for me, when I've been walking through the desert, I get angry, right? So my heart isn't where it should be. And God's using that time in the desert as a way not only to heal the things that he's done, but also to bring me closer to him, because he's the only one during those times you can depend on, right? He's the only water. He's the only manna that's there. He's the only food. He's the only thing in the desert to rely on. And so when you can't see him, he surrounds you with others that show him to you.
Somebody should say amen. Okay. Go into this space. You talked about Bob, right? And the relationship with others, because when you do go into self-preservation mode, right, I think two things. Usually if you're in the desert, it's because someone else did something that ended up in the desert. You touched on it because you had to face your dad. But what if it's a spouse? They did something dumb, or they didn't do something they should have done, and you end up with the aftermath, right? How does God touch your heart? Because it's easy to point the finger, and you did this, and you didn't do that, and you, and because of you, I have to pick up all the broken pieces of glass all over the kitchen floor, right? How do you not be so angry? Because the scripture says, when you stand before the Lord and you pray, forgive others if I have forgiven you. And if you don't forgive others, your prayers hit a ceiling and bounce right back down. How do you manage going through that when someone else did something or didn't? You have to clean up the desert. You're in the desert because of that which was put on you. And now you got to deal with this person in your life, especially if it's a spouse, where it's like, you did this and now I still have to live with you. How do you manage that and walk in that measure of grace and anointing?
Go ahead, Amy.
Besides a baseball.
Tag, you're it.
All right, well, my second desert, just so we can go real deep and real today, I guess. My second desert was I was married before. Okay, and in that marriage, I'm going to be a little secular for a second. Dr. Phil says, no matter how flat you make the pancake, there's still two sides of it, right? I am not without fault in what happened to the marriage ending, right? So I want to preface with what I'm about to say with that. My second desert came when my husband at the time came to me, and we were not getting along for probably a good couple years, and he decided that he wanted to be transgender and become a woman. And so our marriage ended through that process. It was just something that I couldn't walk with him through. But that me making the decision to end the marriage also placed him in a desert, right? So there's some of that responsibility as well. But I was angry at God, angry, because I said, God, I've served you, I've worshiped you, I've done everything you said, I've gone to all the marriage classes, I've gone to the marriage retreats, I've done X, Y, Z, I've done all the things that you asked of me. And yet here I am in this desert, alone, where are you? And he had to break through my anger and really speak to me during that time. And that's how I got through that portion, was I never gave up faith that God was real, but I had given up on that God was walking with me. And so God's love, mercy, and grace picked me up, scraped me off, brushed the sand off me, and said, no, I'm still with you. And he had to bring me back to where I started. And I almost had to start over, I feel like.
Well, you know, it was amazing. You know, we have such history. Karen and I did not know at all. You walked in such integrity. You did not expose your husband. You went through it quietly. And I remember calling, and I had to apologize to you. I was angry with you. I'm like, what do you mean you guys aren't going to be married anymore? We had no idea. And we were hurt because we're like, well, you guys should have come to us. We could have prayed for you or, you know, done all the Christian things that could have fixed it all. And then we're like, oh, wow, that was a biggie. Okay. And we had to go through that season. It brought us closer, right? Our families closer because you walked through that with such integrity. Right? What would you say to someone out here in our, we've only got a few more minutes of our time. Is this all right, everybody, to keep this conversation real like this? Is that all right? What would you say to someone that they're going through a desert and it has to do with a spouse or an intimate family member kind of a relate? What would you speak to them? What's the word of the Lord for them today?
Rest in his shadow. During those times where you feel alone, you feel lost, you feel hungry and thirsty, and you feel that God has abandoned you, it's time to rest. It's not time to push. It's not time to, act like you have it all together. It's time to reach out and find a safe space. It's time to just rest in the shadow of God's wings. And I know that kind of seems like a pat answer, but it really isn't. Because the desert is a time of restoration. Because you have nothing else in your life to rely on but God. There's nothing else there, right? And so the scripture for my life since the time that I got saved up until today has been Isaiah 61. Because I truly believe that he's given me beauty for ashes. He's given me the oil of joy for the times that I've mourned, right? Isaiah prophesied in Isaiah 61 about Jesus is coming, and Jesus fulfilled all those things. Jesus is our joy in the times that we're mourning. Jesus is our beauty when we feel like we've been wrung out and there's nothing left.
Yeah, boys, I think you had that scripture, put it up on the screen. And I think Isaiah 61 was the verse that God gave you. And we have only a few more moments left, but when you come out of the desert, you are strengthened, you are restored. And could you speak to Isaiah 61? Because that is a promise that you kind of find on the road signs through the desert. That's the last road sign as you come out of the desert.
I remember exactly where I was when I read that verse. In their righteousness, they will be great oaks that the Lord has planted for his own glory. By going through what we... because I'm going to include Bob in that because he was part of that journey. By going through what we went through and being able to remain steadfast and faithful and allow God to really work in our lives, I really felt like his promise to me was that my family was going to be strong and that in the midst of everything that had happened, our roots were going to go so deep that we were going to create a legacy for our family of faith.
And God gave me a promise out of the desert too. And that was what others had done unto me would not go in vain, but that I would be able to speak so that others could hear my story and also be healed and saved.
And then once you're healed, there's an anointing that God puts on you that is spoken over others because freely as you have received, freely give. Amen. And I feel like today, as we close our service, Ken, come on up. We're gonna close it out.
He's behind you.
Oh, there he is.
Ninja.
I feel like there's an anointing on the two of you, and I'm gonna ask my wife. At the end of the service, we have a cupcake reception out for you. We got a great thing out in the foyer that the ladies have been working on. But if you're here today and you feel like you're in the middle of a desert, I feel like there's an anointing on the two of you that will help you on your journey. And you're not in it alone. And there is an end to the desert.
Yes.
And when you understand how God feels towards you, I mean, the day we got the news that we lost our baby after 9 years of trying, you know, and in vitro and thousands of dollars, and the ultrasound came back and the baby's just no longer with us, right? And you sit and you cry and you try to figure your life out. But when you sit and you realize Hosea 2:14 is the promise to all women, especially that go through these seasons, I will court her, talking to Israel, but in the feminine, in the Hebrew, I will court her again and bring her through the desert. I will speak to her tenderly there. God is saying to you today, especially the ladies and the moms and the grandmas and the daughters, I will give back her vineyards and I will transform her valley of trouble into a door of hope. If you're here today and that's you, this is the word, this is the prophecy to you today. I'm giving you back your vineyards. You feel like you lost your vineyards? The Lord says he's given it back to you. He's going to bring healing to you. He says, I'm going to transform the valley of trouble. You feel like, oh my gosh, I'm in a desert. I'm in a desert. And the Lord says, no, no, no. I'm going to transform that valley into an opportunity of hope. I'm going to allow you to be a blessing to others. I'm going to strengthen you, encourage you. She will respond to me singing with joy. As the days go long after her youth, I will free her from captivity in Egypt. And in that day, says the Lord, she will call me my husband instead of my master. The Lord is going to restore you. What the enemy tried, what does the scripture say? What the enemy tries to steal. What is it? What does the scripture say? He returns what the enemy has tried to steal. The enemy tried to steal from you in that season. But you've both been restored, strengthened, and now God deposited an anointing in you to help others find their way out of the desert season.
You know, I just feel this, the verse that really speaks to me that I think is really appropriate for the ladies today is to remember that he's your warrior. He's going to quiet you with his love, and he's going to rejoice over you with singing. Because he loves you that much. Yes.
There's nothing to say after that. Amen.
I want to tell you how much I honor and appreciate the both of you for being willing to be open and transparent. How many think this is more meaningful than a bunch of pat answers? If you'll stand to your feet. On behalf of the Point Church, we want to thank both of you for your transparency and your honesty and willing to be open. If you're here today and you find yourself in a desert, at the end of the service when we dismiss, everyone's going to be out in the foyer having cupcakes. It's going to be a great time. But I want you to find your way up here because my wife and all the, we want to pray with you. There is an end to your desert and we're going to help get you through it. Amen, everybody. Father, in the name of Jesus, today we declare blessing over your people. That you would pour out your spirit today and bless and strengthen and encourage. No matter where you are on your journey of faith, the Lord is for you. The Lord is with you. The Lord is making your path straight. He has prepared a table before you in the presence of your enemy. He is working all things together for your good. And what the enemy meant for evil, God will turn it for your good. If you've never received Christ as your Savior, you've never invited him into your life, today is a good day to come forward, take one of the hands of these ladies and say, tell me how I can be saved. And they'll lead you in a prayer. God will save you. He will strengthen you. He will give you a hope and he will transform the very rest of your life. May the Lord bless you and may he keep you. May his face shine down upon you and grant you his grace and his peace and his mercy, both now and forevermore. May God go before you. May God be behind you, to your right and to your left, above and below you. And I speak blessing over you today in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Spirit of Almighty God. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming and happy Mother's Day.
You've been listening to Life in the Spirit, the weekly broadcast of the Point Church in Antelope. The Point is located at 8155 Watt Avenue near Watt and Alverta in the Tractor Supply Shopping Center. The Point is a dynamic, friendly, and energetic community that gathers every Sunday morning at 10. Join us for a service and discover for yourself why the church is making an impact not only in Antelope, but beyond the four walls of the church and around the world. Visit us online at www.thepoint.net.